Ian Funnelly, LAL. A-N-L-A-L. Jay, what we agreed with yourself as well was that in trying to respond to the local government budget and expenditure review that Treasury has just released, we base our presentation in trying to respond, or at least just highlight our comments on each of the chapters. But what we've decided is maybe what we'll do is we'll just focus on the top four chapters, and just give you some of our thoughts. And these are really more overarching sort of framework type of issues rather than sort of very specific issues, whether it relates to very specific financial management issues or, you know, issues of municipal personnel or water and sanitation. Those are specific sectoral issues, and we won't go into that. We'll leave that for your reading.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Chair, I mean, the review highlights, I mean, we think it's quite timely, it's great that the review was released after the new political leadership of local government was appointed or elected. So, we also aware that I think the Minister of Finance probably delayed this slightly, I mean, just to ensure that, you know, the timing was correct, and I suppose it is correct now that the new leadership of SALGA as well as local government would be able to engage this report and look at how to take some of the recommendations and ideas forward. We also think that the immense data that's available in the report, and Treasury acknowledges that, is based on the increased reporting that actually has been improving from a municipal point of view. And obviously Treasury has played quite an extensive role in ensuring this. It also highlights, I think very, very starkly, the importance of local government as a sphere of government at the forefront of service delivery to communities. And again, if you go through those chapters, it tells you, you know, the challenges, but I mean, tells you, also goes into very detail around issues of service delivery responsibilities that municipalities have. Okay. I'm not going to go into the rest. I mean, I think those are specific general sort of points that we've made. The socioeconomic context and the fiscal context for local government. Two, I'm not going to go through this because this is really some of our observations of the report that we were highlighting. Okay, but some of our comments that we want to just maybe bring to your notice is that the differences in service delivery context of municipalities are acknowledged. The context differ, and I think maybe for the first time, you know, we've now in a very detailed report seen an acknowledgement of this idea of differentiation, the idea that the context for service delivery, financial management, financial framework challenges differ according to different municipal environments across the country. We are, however, yet to find a policy that responds to that. We know there's one or two policies that responds to that, but there are no policies responding. So I think we are all in sync now with the diagnosis. I don't think we're in sync with policy making. And that is difficult. It is very difficult to come up with a law or a policy that says we'll deal with this category in this way, we'll deal with this category in this way, or geographically we'll deal with different municipalities in different ways. However, that's the challenge we sit with. Affordability of municipalities is a key concern as it impacts municipal revenues. Of municipal services. Chair, I mean, this is maybe, you know, follow on from a number of presentations we've made around the importance of revenue collection, but also then the affordability of services. The point that we've made at the budget forum this year was that over the last 3 years, and I mean, I might be making a bit of a generalization here, but the growth in the equitable share, particularly in smaller municipalities, is largely been due to the so this growth that Treasury shows, this immense growth, you know, is largely due to the increase in services. So you know, the water and electricity, all of those services, and personnel costs. So if you add those three big ones together, the equitable shares had to grow to keep up with those demands. But what it means is that those are just pass-on costs. So fundamentally, the municipalities are still quite, you know, still unviable. The credibility, and we have to address this because we think that local government credibility needs to be restored through promotion and ethical behavior and commitment to service delivery. I mean, we need those resources. We need viable municipalities so that we can have, you know, sort of democratic governance at a local level. Municipalities need assistance in supporting and support in budgeting, supply chain management, and planning capacity to improve spending on, you know, on infrastructure. Chair, I mean, I think Treasury has done a lot of work around budgeting, but we think that issues around supply chain and planning capacity is still an area on infrastructure that needs improvement. Incidentally, Chair, and I mean, I was at the DTI workshop on Friday, and again, this is one of these policies that were passed a while ago. In fact, now this one was more recent. However, there was no consultation. The revised preferential procurement regulations. Again, from the 7th of December, the new preferential procurement regulations is going to require all municipalities and all of their service providers to have these compliance certificates, BE compliance certificates. Okay, so Itaquini, a municipality of that size, has got 30,000 suppliers on the database. All the suppliers above 5 million rand will need a verification agency compliance certificate, and all the ones below 5 million rand will need auditors to have given them a compliance certificate. Otherwise, they won't be able to do business with the municipality. And we raised a number of challenges. I mean, it's the basis of another presentation. But again, it's, you know, someone sitting, we've developed a policy. And when you think about the practical implementation, it has major negative implications on the ground. So how do our NGOs and cooperatives comply with some of these regulations? They aren't able to even get tax clearance certificates. So these are some of the issues we think needs to be addressed there. There's a need for integrated planning across the three spheres of government to better coordinate infrastructure delivery. Chair, I mean, I think after the FFC hearings, I think a lot of these issues have been raised and highlighted, I think, there as well. Chapter 3 focuses on intergovernmental relations and the fiscal framework. The points wanted to just maybe bring to your notice there is the assignment of public transport and housing functions to municipalities, especially for metros, is welcomed. And we think that's at least the point of departure. However, I mean, we need to begin thinking about, well, what does this mean for other categories of municipalities? And you know, at the moment, this assignment and devolution is just seen as a metro responsibility, as something we need to do at metros. And even that process is being hampered. The issue of unfunded mandates, the review is acknowledged but does not analyze the extent of the unfunded mandates. The FFC report has analyzed the extent of unfunded mandates in the metros, and that's, I mean, they've estimated that to be 4 billion rand per annum in their recommendations of the 2012-13 DORA response. And our point is that, Chair, is that government should at least start responding to this, start addressing this. Treasury issues, and this is the point again we highlighted at the budget forum, that we cannot wait for the COCTA powers and functions review or, you know, white paper review, because that is what In fact, I've been working in Salga for 3 years now. I've been to 3 budget forums. And every year, that has been the response. Every year, we're waiting for the COFTA, the white paper review, and the powers and functions review. The problem is that a library has to be funded, and the library has to be funded effectively. Whether it's run by a municipality or whether it's run by a province, it actually doesn't matter. But it must be funded appropriately. And we must ring-fence the cost. And that's the point we're making there, that we need to do proper cost and costing and budget for agency functions and improve the management of service delivery contracts. There are many of these contracts all around, many of these agency functions. And at least, you don't have to wait for powers and functions review to address some of those. And that treasury, some of the best way we sometimes tend to do things is to make money available and then we very quickly come up with solutions. Because otherwise we just keep talking about unfunded mandates, and it is a big challenge for municipalities. Councillors need to encourage communities to pay for services, to deepen democracy and accountability, and we think this is something that Salga is has been raising it at many platforms that we have. And the implementation of the Municipal Property Rates Act in rural areas often has no benefit. One is obviously due to the complexities around the traditional land issue, as well as the fact that in these rural areas, there's a very low tax base. And in fact, we did just a sample of about 7 or 8 very rural municipalities, and we actually found that the cost of putting together a valuation roll, the income that you get over the 4 years, 5 years, actually doesn't even cover the cost. So there are those municipalities out there. We need to explore alternative tax or revenue streams for rural municipalities. Issue of accountability is important, and therefore it's not about, let's leave these areas and let's not charge property rates. But if the cost of doing a valuation roll is more than the income you receive, then really there's something wrong with our system of taxation. Chapter 3, Chair, our comments is that Salga has developed guidelines to support municipalities to improve tariff policies and calculations, and we piloted this in Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Free State. And, barring resource availability, we plan to roll this out further. We've made some very specific recommendations to the Budget Forum in the past few years around an independent commission to conduct a review of the local government fiscal framework. And we know that there are essentially 2 major processes underway. COFTA and Treasury are putting together this fiscal framework summit. They're working towards that, and FFC has been doing undertaking these hearings. But the point we want to just maybe emphasize for both of them is the need to conduct empirical research to underpin this, because we don't know the cost of unfunded mandates. We don't know the cost of providing certain services. We don't know the extent of backlogs in rural areas. So, we can tweak the framework and we can tweak it and talk about differentiation, and until we don't do empirical research, we're not going to be able to adjust our framework. And from our side, from what we're seeing, is that there's very little of that actually happening. The FFC is probably the only institution that's doing some of that. National Treasury must develop a framework for revenue management, and that is applicable to all policy and legislative impacts on local government. Chair, this is the point that Johan made earlier on, including a compulsory assessment of the implementation costs of legislation, and also to revisit these 2 years after implementation to deal with any unintended consequences. In fact, I was at many meetings where I think the acting chair of the FFC has been coming to Parliament and many parliamentary committees saying, in fact, any policy that has an impact, financial impact on local government needs to be referred to the FFC, and very often they don't. In fact, it's not Salga that's sitting here and saying we need to look at this. I think even FFC has been raising the same issue. We made a proposal that Treasury must develop norms and standards for billing systems to enhance credit control and debt collection in municipalities. Because there are many systems out there, and you know, every municipality just does their own thing, and I think maybe there is a need. And in fact, the process that Treasury and COCTA are embarking on, hopefully we will make this point to them around the National Revenue Enhancement Strategy. We think that the NERSA tariff setting process needs to be aligned with municipal budget processes, and that's still a major problem. Again, it sounds operational, but it has huge implications. You know, just this year alone, I mean, a couple of municipalities complained that after the budget was passed, they got a NERSA letter which then reduced the budget by like 100 million rand or 200 million rand in some of the metros. And what that means, you have to then up your rates and collect that money. And that's where affordability becomes a challenge. And then, you know, it in turn has a backward link to collecting charges from residents. And maybe that's just the last point I want to make is around the revenue and expenditure trends in local government. We think that National Treasury needs to develop an annual report on conditional grants, spending, and non-financial achievements of conditional grants. Che, I mean, in fact, if you go to any municipality, they complain bitterly about the fact that they have to report extensively on these grants, but you don't ever see a national assessment and report on that. So where are all those reports going? And I would probably put my neck out and say that if we actually did consolidate all of that information, you'd probably find quite a decent picture of surreal service delivery that is taking place. Because at the moment, I mean, reporting against conditional grants is only financial. So every quarter is reporting against how much municipalities have spent and where they're underspending, where they're overspending, and you know all of that. But we're not actually looking at the projects that have been implemented. And we think that that's quite an important part of revenue and expenditure. Local government should become central to discussions on reforming capacity building grants. Jay, today you will probably hear, I'm not sure if that will be, I'm sure it will be announced, that, I mean, there was like a savings of like 50 million rand on the financial management grant. So that's been now redirected to something else. I mean, it's the first time we heard it at the budget forum. You know, so these capacity building grants, I mean, you know, we need probably, you know, local government actors more involved in deciding how those grants get spent than merely National Treasury or COCTA or whichever national department just deciding how this should be done. We're working to improve awareness of the conditional grants, because what we've picked up over the last 2 years is that many municipalities are not even aware of the sort of 17 or 18 conditional grants that are available. And to that end, Chair, we put together a brochure which we released at the SALGA National Conference on the 2011-12 allocations to municipalities, so that in one line you are able to see exactly how much you are getting as a municipality and what grants are available in your province. And in that brochure we included both national grants as well as provincial grants. There's reference to grant dependency in the report, and we think that's understandable in rural areas due to the inadequate tax base to raise their own revenue, and we shouldn't be apologetic for this. I mean, that's just the reality out there. So the grants as the percentage of total revenue is going to increase over time, unless we make some huge strides in raising own revenue and dealing with local economic development in those areas. Transfers from provinces require close monitoring. There are challenges in the sense that gazetted allocations are not always transferred to municipalities, and if they are, they are not always on time. Chair, we recommended to the Budget Forum in 2010 that Treasury should report on net debtors rather than gross debtors to differentiate between recoverable and irrecoverable debt. This is the big, you know, 56 billion last year, 62 billion rand this year. And we did a very detailed presentation on this to the Budget Forum last year, and amongst which we were saying that Treasury, I mean, if you're reporting on these gross debt figures, I mean, what you're effectively doing is, I mean, you know, it impacts the credibility of local government, because the gross debt is of 62 billion rand, includes provisions that have been made in municipal balance sheets for funds that are not recoverable. National government should assist with provision for repairs and maintenance. You know, this is a point I think Sangha has been making over the last 3-4 years, on the need to supplement the MIG grant with repairs and maintenance funding. And lastly, the need for the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant needs to focus on assistance for billing systems. Chair, I'm going to stop there. The next chapters become very specific and much more sectoral in nature. Thank you very much. Oh, well, Johan just asked me to, from what we saw last year when we did this analysis, the gross debt figure was sitting at about 56 billion rand. The net debt figure, which is not 100% accurate all in every case, because different municipalities account for revenue differently. Okay, so it's not uniform across the board. But we found that the net debt figure was about 40%, or the provisions were 40%. So the net debt is in fact 60% of the 56 billion rand.
I don't understand what is the difficulty of the past chairperson of SALGA, Amos Masondo, said that NELSA does not take them seriously or something like that. Now, NELSA is created by the state to handle those issues it does, but the requirements for intergovernmental for cooperative governance means that there should be much more sensitivity. I guess the committee may want to invite them to come and explain what are the difficulties of alignment, so that the recommendations they have, they do not have the kind of impact on municipalities that we know it has. So what are the difficulties they confront? So it might be useful to do that, to check whether we do that. And then also the issue of your statement there in your observation of this local government review. If there's a statement that says that the allocations that are gazetted are not often distributed on time, if they are, they are, well, never actually passed on. Is there a possibility of doing an assessment of how big a problem this is? What is the magnitude of that problem? So that we get a sense of how big it is, and then perhaps take action around it. It's made as your observation coming out of the and what are the reasons for that? You know, there are stated reasons why they are not passed on when they are supposed to have been, and so why are they late? Thus affecting naturally the planning of municipalities. Do you have any case to show for that? So that would be the questions I have around that issue, and maybe you can do that as part of your agenda. Members, I think we've come to the end of this meeting. Thank you very much, SALGA and the Department of Public Works. We appreciated your input. We hope that you have accepted our recommendations for you to go and have more dialogue so that you can generate additional answers to and hopefully meet our deadlines and requirements for bringing to bear this issue as soon as possible. Members, thank you very much. Just to respond to what you said earlier on, I also want to say to you that literally, I'm just moving next door, okay? I'm moving next door, and I obviously, because we are not going to be interacting as regularly as we used to do from this chair, I will miss the regular interaction with yourselves. It's been very enriching, personally, to work with you individually and collectively, and I have enjoyed your sense of humor. I've been out of order many times, but so I really enjoyed working with you, and I hope that the work that we do in this sector is actually so huge that this is one of the areas where, if we really succeed, we can make the biggest impact on all of government. And the energy that you put into the work that we've been doing there has been very useful. I've enjoyed moments too for shaking. Basement stories. Because I think that our state of health, individually and collectively, has a major impact on the quality of work that we are able to deliver here. So thank you for granting me an opportunity to work with you around that. And I really appreciated your kind words. And you will not miss me. I will invite myself. I will not wait for your invitations. And as a member of parliament, I have a right to participate in any committee. So I'll come when I can. Thank you very much. Good luck. And of course, Salga, this is the most accurate part of what I said. We'll meet next door. We are not parting ways with you. Thank you very much, too, but for your kind words as well, Councillor Johnson. Thank you very much. Kanye.